I want you to be honest with yourself and ask yourself, is my prayer life made up of all these small concerns? Or is my prayer life lined up with God's heart? Is it about spiritual impact? Is it about character change? Is it about spiritual growth? What does your prayer life look like?
Planting churches, preparing leaders, proclaiming the gospel till the whole world hears. This is the Grand Old Gospel Hour. Today's message is entitled Small Prayers. I once heard someone say that there are no small prayers. Today's teaching challenges that thought and challenges us to think big when we pray.
Turn in your Bibles to Ruth chapter 2. And we're going to start the first few verses of Ruth chapter 2 that were read in your hearing as we begin to push and continue to push through this book of Ruth and see what the Lord has to say. You know, when you talk about waging war and the spiritual warfare that we're in, one of the great weapons that we have is the weapon of prayer. And so I want to encourage you today to think about your prayer life as a weapon of warfare as we approach the issues and the concerns that we have in our lives. And so as you'll notice, the text, what I want to draw out of this text today is the idea of small prayers, because all of us pray small prayers. And I want us to think about small prayers and what they are and how we can enlarge our prayers before the Lord. So let's pray and ask for his help as we look at the text. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for your word. Lord, we pray that you would just make it come alive in our hearts. Challenge us, Lord, where we need to be challenged, and conform our prayer lives to your Holy Spirit and the leading of your Spirit in our lives. And we'll give you thanks for that in Jesus' name. Amen. If you were to examine the prayer life of many believers, I think that what you would find is that most of our prayers are what I would call small prayers. Many of us, 90% of our prayers are made up of what I call small prayers. And they may be long prayers. They might be tear-filled prayers at times. They might be passionately delivered. They might be, you know, emotionally bound up. But I want to tell you that too much of our prayer life is what I call small prayers. They're still small because when we pray for temporal things, when we pray for physical things, when we pray for those small concerns, those physical concerns that we have, many of the desires on our heart, those temporal prayers make up what I call small prayers. Now, keep in mind, there's nothing wrong with praying small prayers. There's nothing wrong with praying for food on the table. There's nothing wrong with praying for a job. There's nothing wrong with praying about that backache that's been nagging at you. There's nothing wrong with praying small prayers. In fact, God wants you to bring everything to him. He wants you to bring all of your concerns, all of your issues to him. But when your prayer life is filled up with a preponderance of these temporal issues, then as they said, and the astronauts say, Houston, we have a problem. And I think that in the spiritual lives of many of us as believers, Houston, our prayer life has a problem. Because from beginning to end, day after day after day, all of our concern, I won't say all, but so much of our concern is about us and our temporal issues down here on this earth. And so I'm calling these small prayers, prayers that focus on temporal issues. Ruth had a small request. Ruth and Naomi, they had gone back to the land of Israel after their wandering and time that they spent there in Moab. They were back there in Israel. And so when you move from one city to another city, what's the first thing that you want? She wanted a job. And so she prayed for a job. And she had a desire to get a job and to have some food to eat to be able to support herself. And most of us can identify with the temporal needs that became the content of Ruth's prayer and her request to Naomi, because so much of our prayer life is made up of those very same things. We need jobs. We need money. We need food on the table. Baby needs some shoes. And so much of our concern and so much of our prayer life is made up of those things. And when you add up and look at your prayer list and the things that you've been taking to God in prayer, what we find is that we pray for food, we pray for health, we're praying for promotions, we're praying for cars, we're praying for houses, we're praying for safety, we're praying for all these things, and they may be well and good. As a matter of fact, God wants you to bring those concerns to Him. But the fact of the matter is they have consumed our entire spiritual life before God. And any prayer that's limited to temporal needs is a small prayer to God. Ruth's prayer to Naomi, this request that she made, was so small that she didn't even feel the need to take it to God. She just went straight to Naomi. Now, you know, some of us, we have requests that are so small, we don't even need God. The banker can handle this one. The employer can handle this one. I don't even need to pray about this. I can just take this right to the man and he can take care of it. And that's what Ruth's idea was. She didn't even need to go to God Almighty. She just went to Naomi and she figured Naomi can handle this request. And so much of our prayer life is so small, we don't even need God. I think some of us, the only reason why we pray and give thanks for our food is because it's a habit. Because if you really examine our hearts, we don't really need to thank God for even those small things in our lives. Sometimes our prayers are so small that we go around God. But again, I want to emphasize that while we pray so many small prayers, I don't want you to stop praying those small prayers, because God wants you to bring all those things to Him. But when our prayers are constantly small, then we have a problem. But look at the end of verse 2. And I want you to notice at the end of verse 2 is not only did Ruth have a small request for Naomi, but even small prayers are answered. I like this. Like so many of us, Ruth got a positive answer to her request. Naomi loved Ruth and desired to meet her needs and desired to take care of her. Naomi wanted Ruth to have a job. Naomi wanted Ruth to have food to eat. Naomi wanted Ruth to have opportunity in her life. Naomi loved Ruth and desired the best for her. And if Naomi desired to see Ruth eat, then even more, God desires to have His children eat. God has demonstrated much more love for us than Ruth did, than Naomi did for Ruth. And so we need to just look at Calvary. We need to go no further than seeing Jesus dying on the cross for us with His outstretched hands and nails in His hands as He was nailed to that wooden cross, the blood streaming down His body, knowing that He could have called 10,000 angels and rescued Himself, and yet He endured all of that for you and for me. Let me tell you, God has demonstrated His love and His concern for you and for me. And so if as human beings we want to take care of each other, if as human beings, selfish human beings, we want to see the best for our children, how much more does our Heavenly Father desire what's best for you and for me? And so Ruth could have taken her small request to God with the same confidence that she approached Naomi with. Ruth could have gotten down on her knees and prayed to God, not bypassed him, not went around him, but Ruth could have gone to him with even that small request and know that small prayers are answered. In a book called Good Pickings by Tammy Jones, Tammy and her family, they went to a family reunion in Lexington, Kentucky. Now, you know, they know how to do family reunions down here in the South. And as usual, when you get to those gatherings, everybody brings all this food, and there was so much food that people were just, at the end, were just taking all these leftovers back home with them. And so Tammy Jones and her family are stacked up in the back seat of the car with all these leftover foods, and they're driving up this mountainous road, and all of a sudden the car starts sputtering and breaks down. And they found themselves in front of an old house that seemed like, the family wasn't too well to do. And so they pulled out, they jumped out of the car and asked, they knocked on the door and asked to use the telephone in this house. And a woman came to the door, opened the door with two little kids hanging on each one of her legs. And the two kids were crying and asking the mother, "Mommy, we're hungry, give us something to eat." And the mother was embarrassed that there was, this display of poverty in front of the guests at the door. And so she began to try and explain to Tammy and her family that, well, things have been a little tight, but we've been praying that God will provide. And now my question to you is this. Do you think that it was just a coincidence that Tammy and her family broke down right in front of their house? Do you think it was just a coincidence that they happened to have all this food from the family reunion in their car? You see, it's not just a coincidence, or is it that God was providing for, as he promised to take care of widows and orphans, God was providing for this woman and her children through this means? I want to tell you that God is concerned about all the issues in your life. There is no request that is too small that you can't take it to him. There's no request that's too minute, that's so insignificant that God doesn't want to hear about it. And so my contention is that if we bring all, even the small requests to him, that he will answer those prayers and he will meet our needs. Never be ashamed to take those small requests to God. He wants to hear about each one of them. But God also wants to see your prayer life encompass larger issues. God wants you to get bigger in your prayer life. He wants you to enlarge your prayer life. He wants your prayer life and your communication to him to encompass not only, "Lord, I need to pay the rent next week," but he wants you to deal with some of those spiritual issues that need to be dealt with. He wants you to deal and to pray about some of those eternal concerns. He wants your prayer life to encompass character growth in your life. He wants your prayer life to be about sanctification and change. He wants you to be concerned not so much about your own self and your situation, but he wants your prayer life to encompass his plan, his redemptive plan, as he's moving this world forward according to his will. And so God answers small prayers, but God is waiting to answer some big prayers if we'll lay them before him. God's grace is bigger than our small prayers. In verses 4-8, I'm not going to take the time to read them, but make sure you digest this passage of scripture because it's a wonderful passage of scripture with a lot that's there. But one of the things that jumps out at me as I look at this text is that God's grace is bigger than our small prayers. Now, I hope you see this. God's grace and God's love and God's desire to bless you is bigger than your small prayers. As a matter of fact, listen to me now. You can't pray a prayer so big that God can't deal with it. God wants you to make your prayer request bigger. He wants you to get past, Lord, I need lunch money. And he wants you to start dealing with some of those eternal matters, some of those heavier weights, some of those character issues, some of those spiritual needs. He wants you to bring that and put it on the table. And the fact of the matter is that God will meet those needs as well. God's grace is huge. Now, Boaz in this story, and we're going to deal with Boaz as we move through this story. Boaz is like the God-like figure in this story. King James uses a good term for him. He's the king's kinsman redeemer. There's a lot there. We'll talk about that as we go into future weeks. But this Boaz figure is like this God-like figure in this story. Boaz here, he represents Christ, and he took note of Ruth as she was out there in the field. He took note of her as she worked day in and day out. And he says in the text, he says, I saw and I heard, I took note of and I made a record of how you dealt with Naomi. I made note of how you were committed to her, how you were willing to leave your family there in Moab and out of commitment stay with your mother-in-law. And so here we have this Boaz figure taking note of all that she was doing and taking note of all that she had done. And God also takes note of us as we plod along in our lives. God, he sees what you do. He not only sees the action that you take on the outside, but God sees your heart. He knows your thoughts. He sees on the inside what's going on. And he sees much more. He sees more than you're praying about. He sees potential in you and in me that our prayers haven't even begun to scratch the surface with. He sees a bright future. As we said last time when we looked at Jeremiah 29:11, that God has a plan, a wonderful plan for your life. And God's plan is for peace. And God has a bright future in mind for you. God has spiritual impact that he would like to see developed in your life. And we haven't begun to scratch the surface of God's grace in our prayers. I want you to stop and think for a second about your own prayer life. And just, you know, glance down. Those of you, how many of you actually keep a prayer journal? You see your hands, you actually keep a prayer journal. All right, good. A few of you. Most of you, that means the rest of you, well, you have it in your head. Let me give you the benefit of the doubt. You have it in your head. So if you were to glance down mentally and take a look at the things that you pray about on a day-to-day basis, I want you to be honest with yourself and ask yourself, is my prayer life made up of all these small concerns? Or is my prayer life lined up with God's heart? Is it about spiritual impact? Is it about character change? Is it about spiritual growth? What does your prayer life look like? And so God is desiring to go way beyond our small prayers as we think about what he can do in our lives. Boaz went way beyond Ruth's prayer request. Take a notice of this. Boaz instructed his workers to give Ruth special favor. And with a God that's greater than Boaz, we too can know that God can go above and beyond what we would even dare ask or think. We have a God that will go way beyond our request. And so we can be glad about that. In Alexander Solzhenitsyn's book, A Day in the Life of Ivan Denisovich, Ivan endured the horrors of a Soviet prison camp. And he was there in prison day after day after day. And one day he was praying with his eyes closed in his prison cell. And as he was there praying, a fellow prisoner noticed him and said with ridicule, "Prayers won't help you get out of this prison any sooner." And then opening his eyes, Ivan answered and he said, I'm not praying to get out of prison. I'm praying to do God's will. Wow, that's deep. See, that's taking not just a small prayer, but of making it a big prayer, something of eternal weight. But for a lot of us, our concern would be, Lord, just get me out of here. And we would be stuck on those small prayers when God has spiritual impact in mind. You see, God is a God that goes way beyond your prayers. I thank God for that because sometimes my lack of faith keeps my prayers small. Sometimes I don't even want to go there. Somebody knows what I'm talking about. Because maybe that's too much that God's not going to do all of that. So I'll scale down my request. And what we need to do is to remember that God is a God. He's a big God. He's a sovereign God. And he loves us and he cares about us. He wants to go above and beyond our prayer requests. And so while we pray small prayers, he sees the bigger picture. He sees his whole redemptive plan. He sees from the Alpha to the Omega, and he's working it all out. There's some good examples that we can take a look at. Not only did God go beyond the request of Ruth, but God went beyond the request of Abraham and Sarah. As they were simply looking for a son, they were thinking about just an earthly family down here. But God went way beyond that and gave them an inheritance that transcended anything that their wildest imagination could have dreamed about. Think about Gideon in Judges chapter 6 from verse 11 to 14. If you're making a note, you can look at it later. I won't take time to look at it now. But Gideon wanted God's presence, and he prayed for God's presence. Why? Because he wanted to have victory in a particular battle. But God went way beyond that because God's concern was with the spiritual condition of Israel. And God went above and beyond Gideon's prayer in order to win back the heart of Israel and build their confidence in him.
We have a new book offer that is a great gift for the mom in your life as we approach next month's Mother's Day. God's Wisdom for Mothers charts a spiritual pathway that will help moms become all they can be in the eyes of God and her family. Topics include God's wisdom with children, God walks with mothers through heartache, adversity, worry, and many, many more. Included are pages for prayer lists and personal study notes. We'd love to send it to you for a gift of any size to our ministry. We'll give you our contact information at the end of today's program. Once again, here's Dr. Hart.
God is a God who goes way beyond. Think about the 3,000 years of Israel as going back to the time of David when Israel wanted a king, even before David, Saul. Israel wanted a king. Why? Because they wanted, their prayer request was all about, they wanted to be just like the other nations and have a king. But God went above and beyond their small little concern about looking like and fitting in with the other nations. And God set up a kingdom, which in David became an eternal kingdom, and through Jesus Christ will never, never end. And the scepter of that kingdom will never leave. And so God went above and beyond the prayers of the Israelites. Why? Because he had a redemptive plan. He had a bigger issue in mind. And he was able to meet those needs. You know, God has gone above and beyond my small prayers. I think about the things that I've prayed about and how God has, and maybe, you know, this testimony here, somebody I'm sure could back me up and say God has gone above and beyond your prayers. But I prayed for a wife 30 some years ago, and God went way beyond that and blessed me with Carol. And God has gone way above. I prayed for children, and God has given us a spiritual legacy. I prayed for the opportunity for ministry, and God has answered my prayer above and beyond what I would have thought when I was 20 years old. with Montco Bible Fellowship and Grand Ole Gospel Fellowship. God can take even your small little prayers and blow them up if we'll just take them and give them to him and pray about the little things and the big things, and don't let your faith stop you from taking it all to God. You see, the challenge for us is to enlarge our prayer life to correspond with God's heart. We need to take our prayers and the heart behind our prayers and line our hearts up with what God desires. And that's what God wants us to do. If the only prayers that you have answered are for food to be on the table, then you're missing what prayer is all about. If the only prayer that you have answered is that God will wake you up in the right mind the next morning, then you are missing what prayer is all about, because prayer is all about lining up your heart with God's heart and stepping out in faith. If the only prayer that you can point to that's answered is that you got up this morning and the blood was still running warm in your veins, like the old preacher said, well, if that's the extent of your prayer life, then you really haven't stretched your faith too far. And so we need to make our prayers bigger. We need to enlarge our prayer life to correspond with God's heart. To be more like Christ is what we need to be praying for, not just food on the table. Not just praying for a job, but we need to pray to be good stewards of what God has given to us. That's a bigger prayer. You can pray for a job, but pray for discipline and faith to use what God has given you to his honor and to his glory is a much bigger prayer. And so God answers sometimes yes, sometimes in his wisdom he answers no, sometimes he answers wait a while, but God always answers our prayers, and guess what? His answer is always the best answer. His answer is always what we need.
We trust that you've been blessed and encouraged and also challenged where needed. God's word, when applied, is life-changing. Give us a call, send us an email, let us know that you've been blessed by our ministry. If you'd like our new book offer, let us know, and we also invite you to send us your prayer requests. Our mailing address is GOGF Ministries, 158 East Main Street, Lansdale, PA, 19446. Our online address is www.gogfministries.org. Our office phone number is 215-361-8111. For Dr. Tony Hart, our producer, Pastor Sam Butler, and all of us here at the GOGF, I'm Sheila King, reminding you that with God, delay is not denial.